Good morning, and a good morning to people who are joining us online or in other forms of media. It's good to be in worship this morning. I'm going to hand over to Marion to take us through a few of the intimations.
Good morning, everyone. All are welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a visitor or a newcomer or visitor to the village. After our harvest Thanksgiving service, 50.3 kilograms of goods was donated to the food bank, along with £70 in cash from the sale of fresh food. And at the coffee morning on the 5th of October, £284 was raised for our ongoing sponsorship of three children through Compassion. Thanks to everybody for your support. The walking group. The next walking group outing is this afternoon. There is a change to the programme. The walk is from Torryburn Ness towards Crombie Point with coffee at Fairley's afterwards. It is market day down at Cuirus and there are roadworks there too. Meet in Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. The cycling group. The next outing is next Saturday, the 19th of October, to Queen's Ferry. Meet in Cairnhill Church car park for a 10 a.m. departure. The shoebox appeal. The church is once again supporting the Blythswood Care shoebox appeal. Please consider filling a shoebox and or donating goods, money or shoeboxes. Pick up a leaflet from the vestibule for more information. Donations can be accepted up to the 27th of October. The Christmas Craft Fair. This year's Craft Fair takes place on Saturday the 2nd of November from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. in the church. See the poster for more information. If you can help with the event, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. There are further intimations on the printed sheet, and this can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. The duty team today is myself and Kath as the welcome team, Derek and Doug on the technology upstairs, and Norman is doing prayers and Rob is reading. For those on Zoom, here is a quick look at the order of service.
Let's worship God now. We're going to sing hymn number 100, which is actually the 145th psalm, the first part of that psalm. So hymn 100, O Lord, thou art my God and King.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, bless the gifts of your people. Our prayer is that we may glorify you in all of our giving and serve as part of your church. So accept these gifts as part of our self-giving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator and Lord of all, you brought all things into being. We give you thanks for the glory of your creation, for the beauty of autumn days, and for your provision for all that you have made. You made each one of us, creating us as unique beings. We thank you for the different gifts we have, gifts that you have given, and for the part that we play, not just in creation, but in your church here on earth. We thank you for the people that we are, but more than that, we thank you for the people around us. We know that you made us to live together, to be one under your care. You are eternal, infinite, beyond anything that we can understand. And yet to us a loving Father, always with us, always ready to embrace. We are well aware of our frailty as human beings, that we do not use your gifts as we should, and sometimes we forget what you want us to be and do. We are sorry for the wrong things that we have thought, said, and done. We ask you to help us to live better lives, to be more as you would have us be. We take a moment of quiet to open our hearts and minds to you, to lay before you that which needs your healing and forgiving touch. Almighty and eternal God, you who know all things from beginning to end, we thank you that we can trust you, and not least for your forgiveness. What you forgive is gone forever. Our guilt is no more. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray that you will guide us in our living, so that our future days are better than our previous days, that we are more faithful and ready to serve. And now we ask you to hear us as we use the words that Jesus taught, that great family prayer of the church, used across the face of the earth in many different languages and forms. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We sing now hymn number 506, All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon. On Thursday evening, the BBC broadcast the television show Question Time from the United States of America in the run-up to their presidential election. This might seem somewhat strange for a British political programme to come from the US. There were a couple of reasons given for that. One was to do with the place of the United States in the world. We have no vote, but the result of this election will affect all our lives. It was also mentioned that Question Time on the BBC has a sizable US audience in our media age. That too might seem strange, that folk in the US would be so interested in a political programme from this country. Whatever we think of what is happening in the United States, and maybe some of the doubts that we have about their political process, it is worth remembering that Question Time took place. It's hard to imagine other places allowing such a programme. Can you imagine President Putin allowing this in Russia, or allowing Russia such international scrutiny? The famous quotation by Lord Acton, "Power tends to corrupt, absolute power corrupts absolutely," fits our age perhaps more than it did back when he said this in the 19th century. And of course, as a historian, he was looking at the breadth of history to produce that statement. And it's one of those things accepted as a truism in our day. Leaders who believe they are always in the right are dangerous people. But equally dangerous are those who idolise political leaders. But maybe most dangerous of all is the mixture of the two. Those who will believe anything along with those who will use anything that supports their worldview is an almost explosive mixture. In our world of social media, where almost anything can be presented as truth and gain a following, it brings some very strange results. You may have noticed on the news earlier last week as Florida faced the threat of hurricane. On some social media posts, it was claimed that this hurricane had been caused by the government. But even more than that, some folk believed it. Any conspiracy theory that confirms a perceived prejudice will be believed in the strange world we seem to inhabit. And it's not just about other countries. It is here in our own land. There are people who will believe any conspiracy theory, and we know an awful lot of them. How we feel determines truth. If we feel it's right, then it must be right. What affects how we feel confirms what is right or wrong. One of my favourite books in the Old Testament is the book of Ecclesiastes. The writer of that book struggles with this whole business of what is of worth, what is truth. And in that well-known passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the author of that book says, God has put eternity in the heart of humanity, but we cannot understand what God has done from beginning to end. We know there is something about us that is more than just of this earth, but it's difficult to understand. In talking about truth, at Jesus' trial, he said he was on the side of truth. And Pilate asked that great political question that I suspect has been asked through history. What is truth? of course, doubting that there was any absolute truth. In our passages today that Rob is going to read for us, we have Isaiah asking, why do we spend so much on what is temporary? And then Jesus asks a question about worldly wealth and heavenly treasure. The kingdom of heaven is not like the kingdoms of earth. It is the difference between temporary and eternal. So let's listen as Rob reads to us from Isaiah chapter 55, just a few verses, and then a story about a rich man from Mark's Gospel.
From the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 to 3a, and it's the invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and you labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. And the second reading is from the New Testament Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, from verse 17 to 31, the rich young man. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked round and said to the disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in his present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 550, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Thank you.
Always forget we get caught out with that one because it's very similar lines. If you were listening to the readings today, and I hope you were, on a very superficial level, and when I first read these, I suppose with some political things in my head, I thought you could almost, and I would say on a very superficial level, read this as the difference between election promise and government reality. What I mean by that is, in Isaiah, the promise of wine and milk without cost. And in Mark's gospel, the cost of belonging to this kingdom of wine and milk is everything. That is, of course, a very simplistic and superficial understanding of what Isaiah is saying and the challenge that Jesus has for the man who approaches him. Such an understanding of Isaiah and Jesus is also to take the words out of context. Isaiah is contrasting the things of God with the things of earth. That which belongs to this world in a physical sense and that which belongs to the kingdom of heaven in a spiritual sense. Jesus is answering a question. A genuine question from the man who approaches him. In a very real sense, confirming Isaiah's words about spending money on what is not bread and labour on what does not satisfy. This man has all the world has to offer, but something's missing. The man correctly identifies his problem. This is all to do with eternal life. How do I get eternal life? Life with God. Jesus then uses this incident to teach his disciples. If we're going to understand the shock that the disciples feel, we need to know a bit more about this man who approaches Jesus. This story is found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you read those stories, there is no mention of this being a young man in terms of the English that is used. So I suspected it was somewhere in the Greek. In fact, in Luke's gospel, it is a certain ruler approaches Jesus. So in that version, he's somebody who has some kind of authority, probably within the synagogue. I picked up my commentary on Mark, which concentrates on the Greek text. And there, the author indicated that the language that is being used here means that this man who approached Jesus is somewhere between boyhood and middle life. Taking all three Gospels and the story as it circulated in the early church, this is the man who has everything, every advantage and every blessing. It says that he is in the prime of life with respect and authority and is blessed with substantial material wealth. When questioned by Jesus, it is clear that he is also a good person. And that would have been known to quite a number of folk as the man approached. He would have been viewed as someone who certainly didn't need to ask Jesus any kind of question. He was clearly right with God. And when Jesus says, well, you know the commandments, he is able to say, hand on heart, this is something that I have obeyed and honored from my youth. With every advantage, something is missing. I suppose if we were talking about our time and our society, we would say he was going through a midlife crisis. That point where some folk go, okay, I've worked hard, I've achieved but somehow I've not achieved what I need in here. What Jesus tells the man to do is quite literally put your money where your mouth is. He has looked to Jesus for a godly answer, and Jesus asks him to put all his trust in God and then go with Jesus. The man cannot give up what those around him would regard as God's blessing on this earth. And this is not just about money. It's also to do with his status and his place within society. Jesus has just said, if you want God, it's going to cost you everything. Jesus' words about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God are deeply shocking to the disciples, or rather, an early amazement turns into real shock. In that society, there was a belief that if you're a good person, you get reward. If you're an evil person, you suffer. Good fortune was God's favor. If something bad was happening to someone, and in one of Jesus' stories, they say, was it this man that did something wrong, or was it his ancestors that he's being punished? The man who asked about eternal life clearly should have been assured by Jesus, you're there, you've got it, you're a great guy. And in fact, it says Jesus loved him. But the challenge is there. That belief persists through almost every society, including our own. If we see somebody good getting what's right in life, we go, that's their reward. If we see someone who has really pushed things too far, and you'll see it numerous times if you look at things on the internet, it's usually called instant karma. Not that I believe in karma at all, but you'll see it there. It's innate within us. We think of this as natural justice. And of course, we're all good people, so we expect good. Jesus makes it clear what he means, and he really means this statement, by using an illustration that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man, a rich person, to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are shocked. As far as the disciples are concerned, Jesus has just said to them, it's impossible for anybody to enter the kingdom of God. Of course, Jesus' answer is that what is impossible for us is possible for God. What we cannot do for ourselves, God can do for us. And that is the heart of the gospel. As usual, it's Peter who speaks up for the disciples, clearly looking for reassurance. What does this mean for us? Excuse me, Lord, what about us? And I suppose we could say, what about us here? Because this is not an easy passage for us in our society. We are very aware that we belong to one of the richest nations on earth. And in worldly terms, even the poorest people in Britain are rich by worldly terms. What does this mean for us? What is Jesus saying? This is a deeply troubling passage. And I have at times, if I'm being honest, maybe looked at the reading set for a particular Sunday and thought, I'll maybe choose something else. This is a bit hard. And it's a bit hard because the first person that I'm meant to speak to after speaking to God is me. And I am well aware that in this world I am a rich man. But this is not really about wealth or worldly possession. This is about treasure. or more accurately, what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is to do with heart. Peter, who spoke up for the disciples and speaks up for us, was a godly man because he was devoted to Jesus. He said and did things that were not right, but there was no doubt either in him or in Jesus that he loved God through Jesus. It was Peter's love that set him free. Jesus knows that Peter's mind and certainly his mouth may let him down, but his heart was in the right place. Peter has found in Jesus his treasure. Jesus describes the reward for those who choose to follow him from the heart in terms that seem quite material. Do we really see this? That those who are devoted get multiple earthly blessings? Well, if we're thinking in terms of quantity, probably not. But if we are thinking in terms of quality, that's a different thing. One way to understand what Jesus is saying is the difference that faith brings. It's the difference between thinking, I own this, I deserve this, I've worked for this, this is mine, to saying, all of this is an undeserved gift, an undeserved gift of God. And where we describe, where we understand all that we have as blessings, then they are multiplied. They're not things that we own or earn, or we may have worked, but we're using God's gifts to work for them. But Jesus is not like a politician. He says, in the midst of all of these, you know, what you're going to have, you'll get persecution too. And to conclude, if the disciples, if we are tempted to think in earthly terms, this is about the kingdom of God. And there Jesus says, many who are the first will be last, and the last first. Judgment is not ours, it's God's. And that includes judgment on self. I can very easily judge myself wrongly in both ways. I can have a good conceit of myself, to use some good Scots, or some bad Scots, whatever way you want to look at it. But most of the time, I don't think very much of me, because I know me, and I know how God should deal with somebody like me. But that is not for me to do, whichever one of us we're talking about. We do not judge where we stand in the kingdom of God. What we are offered is the freedom of knowing and living the kingdom of God. That what we have is not worldly wealth, but heavenly treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. Hymn 270, Put All Your Trust in God.
Oh.
we turn to God with our prayers for others. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator and sustainer of all that is, we thank and praise you for the universe around us, and not least for this earth which you created, for all that you saw and said that it was good. We thank you for the life that we have, the life on this planet, all that you give to sustain life. We thank you for the provision that you have for each one of us, for body, mind, and spirit. It is with sorrow that we confess that not everyone on earth is born equal, nor treated equally in this very divided world of which we are part. There are many on this earth who have wealth in terms of food, provision, homes, and the luxuries of life. All the things that make life that appears to be safe and secure. We who are here know the many physical blessings that we have, and yet we know that in this world there are many who have little security in life, those who experience financial hardship, those who struggle to make ends meet, those who live with debt, those who do not know where their next meal will come from. We pray for a world that is divided between rich and poor. We think too of those who are living in places struggling because of conflict. The divisions that cause us to look at the other as the enemy. We think of those struggling in the Middle East because of that increasing conflict in that part of our world. We think of Ukraine, now well through a third year of war, and many more years of conflict. We know that the troubles of this world are found in our land too. We pray for our own community. We think of Scotland, of the UK, of Europe, of a world in need in so many different ways and so many places. And yet, in those places where we see so little hope, we know that there are people who are working for justice, to aid the poor, to be the peacemakers. And so we pray for them. For you are a God of justice and peace. You are a God of love and compassion. You are the one who gives us dignity at the very depth of our being, for we were made in your image. We pray for your church across the face of the earth. Fill us with the love of Christ, to love our neighbours, to be all that you would have your people be, to be light and life, to be the salt of the earth, as Jesus said. And so we pray for an end to all division. We pray for a time when we acknowledge that we belong together as one family under God, and where our prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is something that is shared across humanity. As we pray, we think of the needs of people around us, We think of those who are very much our burden of prayer, whether it be to pray for celebration or to pray for times of need. We take a moment now to pray for this country of which we are part, to pray for our community, to pray for our families and friends, and to pray for ourselves, always remembering that we are part of one world. So hear us now as we lay before you those things which we have brought to worship, that we want to lay at your feet, seeking your healing, blessing, answer. Hear us now, we pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you that you hear our prayers and have promised that what we ask in Jesus' name, you will surely answer. Give us the patience and grace to wait for your answer in your time. We offer our praise and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And now we sing hymn number 738, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.